Hey, it's Handsome Hank here. Back by popular demand, I want to tell you about fantasy football leagues on FanDuel. Your season-long league is probably over, but the one-week fantasy football leagues on FanDuel have never been bigger. So don't wait till next year. Play more fantasy football right now for real cash over at FanDuel.com. A guy called Matt Nichols from Ohio turned a $25 deposit into over $25,000 playing fantasy football on FanDuel. Join him and hundreds of thousands of other users who've already won money. I'm going to go straight over to FanDuel, start with an entry fee at just $1, set my lineup each week, and win every week because I know I'm good enough, and I'm guessing you probably are too. Damashek, not so much. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use Dave's code DDFP, and sign up right now. There's a new user special at the moment, so FanDuel will give you a bonus of up to $200 on your first deposit, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. That offer's only good for the first 50 people that use the code DDFP. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season.
The Dave Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program, available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and nfl.com/shek.
S-H-E-K, Shek, Shek, Shek.
Title weekend is upon us. We haven't a moment to waste. So much good stuff to do between now and kickoff in Glendale, Arizona, let alone all the stuff we have to get in before the games kick off. This Sunday, two dandies. We're going to pick them for you in just a second. I want to tell you about a couple of things, though, very quickly. First of which, we are going to turn. We have Ike Taylor coming in momentarily. Yes, that Ike Taylor, the 2014 Shecky Award winner for best football playing guest. Yeah, that Ike Taylor is going to be here in Studio 66 in a matter of minutes, and I like him so much. Obviously, we enjoy him that much that we know something good's going to come out of it. We will have a video for you that comes out of that, so be on the lookout for that. Also, Elliot Harrison and I, if you've watched the NFL's Infinite DVR, you know we love looking back at old games, the original broadcasts. We're doing a little something special around the Super Bowl. We're going to do our awards for the Super Bowl. Yeah, they're going to give out the Lombardi Award on Super Sunday. In front of that, the Vincies are going to be handed out, a number of categories. We're going to go through and hand out some awards, so be on the lookout for that in the coming days. And I don't know, a bunch of other hooey and applesauce. If you haven't checked out the New England Patriots Dynasty video we did last week with Willie McGinnis and Heath Evans, a lot of nice comments on social media about that. That was really solid stuff, about a half hour's worth. Not about the 2014/15 Patriots, more about really who Belichick is behind closed doors, Tom Brady, some great stories about some significant playoff moments from the New England Patriots, as close to a dynasty as the NFL has had here in the 21st century. Also, we caught up earlier this week. You can find the video of us kibitzing with the great Larry Fitzgerald. And who knew? He's a Game of Thrones fan. In fact, he had an off-the-board pick for who he would like to see finish as the king, sitting in the throne when it's all said and done. I was surprised by his answer. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. Black Tie and I both, though, were quite surprised by it. Black Tie, it's an exciting day, isn't it? To have Ike coming in here momentarily, our favorite.
It is. We have Ike Taylor. We got James Jones of the Oakland Raiders also
coming up.
He
was delightful when we talked to him a year ago, and he was speculating at the time, I might go to Oakland because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he did.
All right, so it's a good show. I'm looking forward to, like you said, the Vincies, which is being produced by the gold standard of the Around the NFL podcast.
So, yeah, so if you've enjoyed the Infinite DVR in the past, you will enjoy this, I'm assuming. We haven't done it yet, but I think it's going to be fun to look back at some of those great plays from NFL history. The original broadcast, and that's the real key.
You love your original broadcast.
I do, because you've seen all the, especially Super Bowls, you've seen those plays a million times on NFL films, and it's glorious to look at, but to see it in the original broadcast grounds it in a way. It levels the playing field from, you know, what you saw last year to way back in, whatever, 1974, something like that. All right, listen, the matter at hand, we must make picks for these divisional round games. Don't
Speed
tell me
picks.
Quickly.
Well, I mean, you have a lot going on today, Shaq.
We do have a lot going on, so let's get to it. We'll say hello to the man seated to my left right now. He has joined us just about every week for the Red Challenge Flag pick segment. You know his work from NFL.com. He gives you the power rankings. He gives you his picks out there. He does all sorts of this, that, and the other at NFL Media. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, man. I just noticed a little football note here. I was pleased to see that the Giants hired Steve Spagnuolo. I think that's sharp. I think the Giants are going to be back in 2015. He did a great job as their defensive coordinator.
That's interesting. I had not seen that news until you just mentioned it. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that that team is putting something together. And, you know, it's funny, round about October, you would have said Tom Coughlin is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had that nice little surge there, and that's for the best if you're a Giants fan, because if they change coaching staffs, then that means – Eli has to learn a whole new system all over again, so this is good. And obviously, ODB makes things promising for any team that's got him. So
you bet. Well, we looked back at the Giants' win over the Cowboys in the 2007 divisional playoff on DDFP TV, and Spagnuolo was on the sideline, essentially praying, like closed his eyes and prayed on that last play.
On the infinite DVR. And you can look up if you want to get some title flavor going. We looked at the 1982 NFC title game, Redskins and Cowboys. That was dandy
stuff.
That
was fun.
All right. Also got a lot of praise on the podcast from earlier this week. If the Dez Bryant play still gnawing at you, go back and listen to that. We break that down. Peyton Manning, some of the coaching stuff, of course, the Seahawks-Panthers game. And
not enough
Patriots
Seahawks.
One.
Not enough Seahawks.
A lot of feedback, a lot of positive feedback saying it was the best show we did all season. A few, though, said it was too all over the place. Judge for yourself and dig it up on iTunes, Stitcher, or at NFL.com/Shaq. All right, Black Tie, let's get to it. Only two games to pick, so it can't take that much time. It's time for the penultimate Red Challenge Flag set. Red Challenge Flag picks. Now, of course, this is when we pick the games. And Elliot, I'm going to let you make – oh, actually, Black Tie, you have to set it up for us, because we need an impartial third party. You start with Elliot, though. Go ahead.
I'm a lot of things. Impartial is not one of them, but I'll go ahead and do this. Packers and Seahawks, first game on Sunday. EH, who you got?
You know, like I've told you many times, Black Tie, in your world, this isn't as big as Mavs at Thunder in middle of February, but I'm going to do my best.
I don't know why you picked that game, because it's not.
I'm going to do my best.
You know, I'm Warriors taking, at Thunder might be a good one.
I'm
Steph
taking
Curry.
Seattle at home.
Bucks at Sonics would be a better direct parallel. I hope the – wonder if the Hawks –
the Sonics don't exist anymore.
I know, but if the Hawks move up there, they might – that would be a nice thing.
Hawks aren't moving.
I hate that the Sonics don't exist anymore.
That's I do. Right,
let's get back to the game.
Because the name is so cool and the uniforms were great. It really is a shame. All right, so you – I'm sorry, say again. You said the Seahawks?
Seattle. Tom Chambers notwithstanding, Seattle at home.
Yeah, guess what? I'm throwing the red challenge flag, everybody. I'm taking the Green Bay Packers, and not only because I picked the Packers – to get to the Super Bowl before the season. In fact, we got our pal AJ Hawk on the line, and I told him that they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Then you went away from it.
No, I didn't. I didn't go away from it. Did I?
A little bit. Wasn't there a little bit of a lull, TD? Am I
no,
wrong?
No. After the first week, did I, Black Tie?
I can't keep up again with your predictions. You're the same man who said the Seahawks would make the playoffs.
So what? I was wrong about something.
That was a spear in the back from 400 yards right there.
So what? So guess what? Nobody's perfect. I swung and missed, but like Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty. Thank you, Jerry Orbach. Yeah, so I'm like that. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong too. I was wrong about that one. Why the 12s continue to let me know about, all right, nobody has ever gone undefeated. Well, I mean, that I like when people say no one's ever gone undefeated when there have been people who have gone undefeated.
Yes.
But, the 72 Dolphins notwithstanding. All right, nobody ever for their lifetime goes undefeated.
So you're taking Green Bay.
Z Drizzle, a.k.a. Dan Fouts, also reminded me that you said the Colts wouldn't lose another game like since like week five or so.
At two, Fouts?
Week 10.
I know what
week
I
10.
Said. So what? They weren't all right. So. I made some mistakes. I did get three of the four championship game weekend teams, though. I said it would be the Patriots, the Colts, the Packers, and the Saints. You don't laugh at me. That's 75%. Oh, also, Football Baby's picks, if you're interested in his. He's 35.
See, that's
and
a damn
sick
we'll listen to.
Yeah, 35 yeah. and 12 lifetime. You should check out his picks. And, yeah, I was a little surprised by it. Packers, and here's why, EH. The Packers are going to win because I believe Eddie Lacy is going to be able to make hay against that defense. As crazy as that sounds, I think Aaron Rodgers forces you, I mean, unless he shows that he's really, really hobbled. And he didn't look great in the first half last week. But if he can sling it a little bit and put pressure on the defense that he is going, that he can go up top whenever he wants to, and he does it in the blink of an eye, you know how he flicks that wrist and the mm-hmm. ball is 40 yards upfield on a rope, that requires Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor to lay off. I mean, that he should be able to, Eddie Lacy should be able to grind him a little bit. And okay. it's as simple as that. Now, I understand Marshawn Lynch should be able to do the same. I am ultimately saying Aaron Rodgers, who is a, you know, not just great, he is perhaps the best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his chance to show it in as tough as an environment as there is.
Well, I'm not a big ifs and buts guy, but I'm about to give you an if. If DeMarco Murray doesn't get stripped on that ball by Julius Peppers, he goes for, what, about 70 yards, which would have given him close to two bills on the game, and that's really what worries me is the mm-hmm. Packers' run defense. Hey, not taken away from Peppers' play, but that was just an errant swipe of the ball. That wasn't even a tackle attempt. He was not even trying to tackle him. I worry about the run defense. I will say this. The Packers have a young center, Lindsley, that's done a great job this year, and if he can help with the protections and they can run Eddie Lacy up the middle, I just don't want to see Aaron Rodgers drop back 50 times in this game. They've got to have a balanced attack to me to win. I just don't think they're going to be able to stop the Seattle running game. That's my concern. That's why I think the Packers lose. I have Seattle winning 24-17.
Boy, it's a tough one to call, really. And, you know, listen, the Seahawks winning at home will not be a surprise to anybody, including me. It's really, you know, the Seahawks defense is better than the Packers defense. But if it gets any – not shootout. Forget shootout.
No.
But if I told you that both teams are going to get into the 20s, I'll take the Packers. And I think they have a real chance to do it. I think that Cam Newton and company scratched out 17 in that – you know, in up there last week.
Mm-hmm.
As good as Bobby Wagner and Cam Chancellor have been and as good as the defense has been since they returned, I'm going to go with the gunslinger here. In 160 minute stint – and it's also interesting, I don't what this says, and there are theories on it, and there's some merit in those arguments, but when teams play again, it doesn't, in fact, it's counterintuitive. You would think, well, we're the better team, we've established ourselves as the better mm-hmm. team, now we're going to beat you again. It doesn't work that way. It works when you play three times. That it's true that if you're divisional opponents and one team beats the other twice in the mm-hmm. regular season, mm-hmm. they tend to win that third game because now they have established we dominate you in matchups.
Mm-hmm.
When you only get a second look at a team, the team that lost the first one makes adjustments, whereas the team that won doesn't really because they assume.
That was so long ago. Both teams are so different, but – Bobby Wagner, he's really the key for me for Seattle. Him being back in there, they're just a different team, man. I mean, call it low-hanging fruit. I'm taking the easy pick, but I feel like I'm taking the right pick.
Black tie, there's another matter at hand, and that's the AFC.
AFC, that's right. Well, obviously, I'm going with the Seahawks. Damn, my man Russell Wilson pulling that off. But the last game or the AFC game, Colts at the Pats. Dave, who you got?
I'm going to take the New England Patriots.
I'm going to have to leave my flag in my pocket. As much as I want to, I don't like this matchup for the Colts at all. I mean, I know the Patriots have been doing this thing, Dave. Obviously, they've done it several times this year where you put Brandon Browner, on the number one receiver and you help out over the top, and then you have Darrell Revis take the deuce. Well, you know what, man? They're not going to do that with T.Y. Hilton. You're not going to put big old Brandon Browner on T.Y. Hilton. He's going to get killed by that speed. I think Revis is going to lock up on him. And if they can't get T.Y. Hilton going, do you trust Boom Heron? I know he had a nice little game against Denver. Do you trust him and Dwayne Allen and Moncrief to beat the Patriots?
Well, it's interesting you say, because I think Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener are going to have to be the targets in this one. I'm going to go, you know, like I say, I take the Patriots here. And really, I think something that – here's one prediction I did get. Oh, it's not even a prediction. But I said, however long ago, that the Jenga piece of Jenga pieces in 2014/2015 is Rob Gronkowski. If you take him away, the whole Patriots offense implodes. And that's pretty much been proven out over this season. Week to week, you always say, when people pick games, when we sit here and pick games all season long, you say, well, the matchup, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do about Rob Gronkowski. I think he's really a bad matchup for blank team. Rob Gronkowski is a bad matchup for every team.
I think he's got 5 touchdowns in 4 games versus the Colts.
Is that right?
I look that up, Black Tie. But
I just
don't
know
why.
You know, what are you going to do? When he's on the field, the offense goes, and I think it will again, and I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
You see what happens, though, more importantly? What happens when Drew Staton lays down on the job? Then I don't have that person to go to. I did a little research on Patriots versus Colts. The first time they played Andrew Luck, when Luck was a rookie, they blitzed him 17 times. The next time they played, they went down to 8. And this last time they played in November, they went down to 7, which was significant because they had 43 dropbacks. 7 blitzes and 43 dropbacks, and we could agree that's nothing. That's once every 6-plus plays. The Patriots are comfortable playing coverage. Guess what? They have the personnel to do it. I just feel like this isn't a great matchup for the Colts.
I hear you, and again, that the notion of a puncher's chance and all that, you know, Andrew Luck stayed clean. I know he had the 2 interceptions, but those were basically glorified punts. I think, you know, they – can't, again, just like you would have said last week, you know, they can't afford to have a bad turnover.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll figure out how to scratch out a turnover or 2 against Luck. He has a knack for doing that, or I should say Belichick and company have a knack for forcing some bad balls out of Luck in their past meetings. I think they'll do it again, and I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl, and we're going to see Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. I think we're pretty much guaranteed a good Super Bowl no matter what, and, you know, especially if the Patriots get there. Patriots v. Seahawks, Patriots v. Packers, dandy, and I guess as a consolation prize, Andrew Luck, the preordained greatest of all time, wouldn't be too bad to see. I guess that
maybe
be
not
for 2 weeks.
Well, Black Tie's pulling a Harbaugh in his khakis on the sideline in the fourth quarter right now behind the glass trying to get you to stop, which tells me I need to ask you another question. What's the best possible uni matchup we could get in the Super Bowl?
Oh, I haven't considered that. The AFC will be the home team, so that would put the Colts
in their blues.
In the No. I'm sorry, AFC will be in the on the road.
Then so I'd want Colts Seahawks.
Packers green. Well, definitely you don't want the so yeah, the Colts have to go. Because if the Patriots wear their navy road, that's a bad
look. I'm saying Colts Seattle is the best possible uni matchup we could have in this.
You're correct. No. Packers,
nope.
No, Packers in their greens against the road Colts. That's your best get-up right there. Classic.
I love how the bulb just went off in your head. You just completely
I almost forgot that one. That's it. Packers like in their home greens against the all-whites of the Colts. Good luck beating. That's a hard one to beat, period.
I kind of like the Colts blue versus the Packers white. I'm not going to lie.
You know, I always love some uniform talk on a podcast.
I do. That's right, Black
great.
Tie.
Yeah.
Listen,
it's,
when it comes to
great, it's great audio.
Thunder Mavs, do you like Thunder in their roads?
Don't talk to me about the Thunder uniforms. Yeah. Those are terrible.
Okay.
They're
Before
very
Ike jumps in here, just real quick, this probably is the last red challenge flag we're doing here at Studio 66 since we're going to be in Arizona for the Super Bowl. The numbers for red challenge flag, the flag was thrown 30% of the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was thrown 41 times out of a possible 168.
You're kidding me. Who looked this up?
I am totally lying.
But I was just going to say, you know what? You know where I
great.
Got
I wonder what. I mean, I wonder what the
You know what?
Are.
You know how I knew you were lying?
Because yeah. you never put
you
that much effort
168.
In
168. There's no way we picked 168 games over the course of the season.
Percentages
would,
probably don't
You
work.
Would never have allowed us to pick that many football
I
games.
Think he was incredulous at your effort. Yeah. I think that was really more what it was about.
Yeah. No way I'm keeping track of that.
All right. Listen. Elliot Harrison, we'll see you for the NFL's Infinite DVR special, The Vincies, the awards breaking down great plays and moments
and we'll
players
wrap
at
the
and
Super Bowl.
Else. We'll do that. We'll see you, though, for that. People should be on the lookout for that on NFL.com and NFL Now. In the meantime, though, please scram because the 2014 Checky Award winner for the best football playing guest of 2014, the great Swagga Ike Taylor, is on his way in here right now. You listen to Dave Damashek. Well, it doesn't get any better than this for us here in Studio 66. Maximum strength!
Oh, okay.
Wait,
What is it?
Maximum strength, I say.
Oh.
Wait a second.
Hold up.
I said Studio 66, maximum strength.
Power is up.
Come on, Black Tie. This is a special occasion.
Black Tie, what you doing?
Let's start. There we go.
About
time.
It took us a while. Was there a malfunction or something? Black Tie, man, you're supposed to be on it, man.
A little bit, but we're rolling.
Are you nervous or what? Are you excited to be around the 2014 Shecky Award winner?
Man, the poop is these Samoan cookies.
Yeah, that's him talking. But you don't need to play sound of him talking because he's sitting right here.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Call me whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me Collect.
I
crack myself up sometimes.
Well, of course, our favorite line of the entire year last year was when you told us you were Earthquake, and wow, there was an earthquake going on.
Man, every time I say that, I got to roll my neck to get ready.
We love it. We loved it. Well, congratulations. Well, first of all, Ike Taylor, cornerback supreme, Pittsburgh Steelers. But as we now go into 2015, we'll get into that and see if you're going to still be a Pittsburgh Steeler, what you think you're going to end up being. But first question is, how has your life changed since you won the 2014 Shecky Award for our favorite football-playing guest?
Man, I got sponsors coming from all over the world.
Cool.
I got, like, TV ads, movie ads. Ever since I won that Sheck Award, man, my life is just, like, totally in the blur right now. So
is it
I appreciate
really?
That. Yeah, that, cool. that I didn't know it was that huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's big.
Is it, would you say, how does it compare with like winning a Super Bowl, for instance?
It's like winning a Super Bowl, but just on that level, it's like winning the Emmys or something, man. You know, how I feel. Like everything just been coming at me so fast over the Sheck Award, man. I'm like, I didn't even know.
Well, I you know, you deserved it. It's well earned and, you know, maybe the first of many. Let's see.
I work hard for that.
Well, you know what? You're a broadcaster yourself, and you can check out Ike's very good show. I've been a guest myself on it. Trib Live Radio every Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Correct.
On the East Coast, and
Correct.
It's live.
Yes.
And you can dig it back up and listen to it after the fact.
Can I give a shout-out to my sponsors?
Sure you can, yeah. Shout I out, helped you get them, please.
Shout-out to White Deer Run. Mm-hmm. Shout-out to Cold Forge Treatment Medical Centers. And shout-out to Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show.
Don't be a shill, Ike. Don't be
you
a
shill.
No, I like it. That's fine.
Appreciate
and
you.
I like that. I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. They have to.
They do got
people
real
say
good
have,
coffee. Yeah.
It's better
no,
than any of it. Better no. than Starbucks or any of it.
No,
right?
They really do got good coffee.
What's your favorite kind of donut?
Oh, let me think about it.
I'll tell you what mine is. It's the buttermilk. You know? No. You know what I'm talking about? The one that's kind of shaped like a crown a little bit. Doesn't even have a hole in the
give
middle.
Give me the regular chocolate.
Really? Okay.
I'll put it in the microwave for like 8 seconds, let it warm up just a little bit, just enough so it don't melt all the way. Let me dip it with my coffee and we good.
Okay.
Got to go with the glaze, guys.
Gotta
Come on,
go
nice
with the glaze.
No
nice
one asked
simple.
You, Black Tie. That's not a question. This is an adult conversation when you're
goodness.
Talking about best donuts.
Oh,
please.
My gosh.
Now he's not on delay.
Yeah, now he's ready to chime in. Glazed,
okay. Glazed.
Indeed. All right, let's get into it here. Before anything else, let's treat this like a professional interview, and then we can get into some of the other stuff. First of all, title weekend now. You got the mighty New England Patriots hosting the Indianapolis Colts, who you defeated early in the year, and the Seattle Seahawks hosting the Green Bay Packers. Just give me your picks. This is the time of year where everybody has to weigh in with their picks.
So I have Seattle over Green Bay. And this could be my sleeper. What I'm about to say, I have the Colts over the Patriots. And the reason why I have the Colts over the Patriots is because of their secondary and their defense. If they can play with that same intensity they played against the Broncos with, they're going to win this ball game. Andrew Luck is forming into his own in the playoffs, especially with stats, even him as a third-year quarterback. You know, so this is his opportunity to get over the hump. And what better choice than get over with against Tom Brady and, of course, you know, Bill Belichick. So them two been married for a while, Belichick and Brady. And until they get divorced, man, it's going to be tough for a lot of people to get over that hump in Foxborough. But I think Andrew Luck, because of his size and his throwing arm and just his intelligence for the game, they got an opportunity to get over this hump.
Is it, though, you know, I remember when Vontae Davis went out against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh in that game, and that was hugely significant, it seemed to me. Is he the most sort of underrated cornerback going right now? It seems like when he's on the field, that defense is legitimate. You take him out, all of a sudden teams can run up the score on the Colts.
You can say that.
Yeah?
You can say that. That's a real good analogy for Vontae. Like, Vontae come a long way just being a first rounder on what he was doing in Miami. Now he got signed to the Colts, and he's been like premier corner for the NFL. Not a lot has been said about him. But
I know
like,
it, yeah.
Like you said, Shaq, man, he's one of them shutdown corners. Like, they asked Vontae to travel when needed. You know, they still got two solid corners with 28 on the other side. But at the same time, man, Vontae is coming into his own, and he have years ahead of him.
The metaphor I use is the Jenga. You remember Jenga? Mm-hmm. You know, the game. Vontae Davis is the Jenga piece for the Colts. If you take him out, the whole thing implodes. Who's the Jenga piece? I think I know the answer after what we saw in the wild card round against the Ravens. If you take away the QBs, because it's too easy to say, right, well, the QBs are the Jenga piece. Every team falls apart. You take away their starter,
right?
Except for the Ohio State Buckeyes, apparently.
Excuse me.
Who's the Steelers' Jenga piece? Take him away, the team's doomed.
You got a cuff button, by the way.
I got a cuff button?
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Well, it's right there, right next to you.
What are you going to make him do? Cuff button. Let him do his thing. What's he have to do that for? Stay out of his head, black guy.
If you want a cuff, just hold it down and then, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Use the wrong one. The other one.
Is that an important thing?
Hold up.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
I appreciate that.
Much better.
I appreciate that.
Now, back to it. Jenga piece for the Pittsburgh Steelers, minus
so seven is out the equation.
Yeah, we're not going to use him.
Okay, so seven is out the equation.
Obviously, Bruce Gradkowski, although he looked pretty good for two throws worth of action there.
Bruce been in the league for a while, so Bruce is a solid backup for sure. You take seven out, the hidden piece, and I think we saw it for the playoffs, Le'Veon.
Does that make you sick? So how do you feel with the season, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers finally after two straight 8-8s, and you said just before the season, you were on the show with us, and you said, I feel like this has a 2005 vibe. Of course, Pittsburgh fans know what that means. That's a Super Bowl. Right. And I really feel like you did have a shot there. You know, I really felt like you did. And then 26 goes down, and do you feel like, well, the Colts did what they did in Mile High, we would have done the same thing. We would have been able to go in there and do it as well.
Man, you take Le'Veon Bell out the situation, you taking 38% of your offense out the situation. And that's huge from one guy. You know, so we're talking about a guy who was a 1,300-yard rusher, also a 800-yard receiver. You know, so now he's a matchup problem for anybody. But we see that. I got a chance to see that in training camp. You know, so now the league saw that this year, not only can he do damage rushing, but man, if we line him up as a receiver, he's going to do damage to linebackers.
Even Marshall Faulk never went out for fade routes. I mean, Steelers were lining him up to run fade.
He's that good.
It's like, crazy.
This man body control, just like, and he plays basketball in the offseason, and you can tell just the way he move and have that body control for a guy who's 218, 215. The man is special. And he's just going to get better as his years go in the NFL.
You don't play basketball with him, though, I hope. You gave up the game after what happened last summer
when I took you out.
Well, what am I? I'm not supposed to mention fact that I beat you.
I should have never said nothing about basketball. But at the same time, you got me. But I feel like I feel like I'm a 6'2 small forward. Like,
so
that's my role.
What does that mean?
We should have played 1-on-1.
You don't
pound
want
to
come on, Ike. I like
so
you
then
a lot.
I can get on your show and talk.
I have to
and talk to you crazy, but now I can't, man. You beat me with the swish.
That's exactly right.
You beat me with the free throw, and every time I bring up basketball, you get to talk to me crazy.
In the meantime, let's talk about your pal, the guy who you're not the only guy who loves Dick LeBeau, but I really do feel like you're a guy who. You know, the Steelers organization really sort of embraces certain guys, and it's about the guys who embrace them and talk about the Steeler way. And, you know, it really seems to rise above the usual rhetoric you hear with professional teams. It seems like it means something to Cam Hayward and Brett Kiesel and you and Polamalu to wear black and gold. I know there are guys on the Patriots who feel that way about their team and right. and so on, but it really does seem to have a level of significance there. And Dick LeBeau is a big part of that. What happened?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this, Shaq. I mean, this the business side mm-hmm. of the NFL, regardless on how you want to look at it. So if you want to look at a Peyton Manning, you know, everybody thought, man, you know, he is the franchise guy for the Colts. And the Colts made that business decision. Hmm. Man, thanks for everything you have done for this organization. Thanks for everything you have done for this city. Thanks for this new stadium you have done for this city. But it's time to move on. So if they can let a HOF guy like that go, anybody is able to be let go in the NFL. So I look at Coach LeBeau like a Joe Pa, a Tom Landry, a Lombardi. Like, I look at Coach LeBeau like one of those few mm-hmm. coaches. You just let him play it out till he want to resign, you know, till he want to call it quits. He's one of the few. He's one of the pioneers. Like, he's one of the reasons why guys play. You know, we all have goals in our life, personal goals, team goals. And Coach LeBeau is a part of some of them goals for a lot of guys like myself, a James Harrison, a Brett Kiesel. Now you're starting to see Cam. Just a lot of them veteran guys, man, we understand and love Coach LeBeau. We do a lot for the team, but we do a lot for Coach LeBeau. Like, Coach LeBeau is that guy, you know. So just to see him walk away from Pittsburgh, it's like it take a little breath out the city.
I hear you. I know. You know what? I completely get it. But let me throw a couple thoughts at you about this. First of all, I feel like it's a real bad kryptonite to have to your scheme that you know out there. I mean, you guys must know this in the locker room. Don't you fear, like, if let's say you had beaten the Ravens and then right. you beat the Broncos. If you had to go up to Foxborough, I'm not jiving you, Ike. You know, I don't. You know, no jive is the cardinal rule here in Studio 66. I feel like Tom Brady would have done what he always does. Slow death. Quick passes, slow death, 11 yards at a time. That's what he does every time. He spreads you guys out and does that, and there's just no answer for it. True or no? Am I crazy?
See, coming from a defensive coordinator standpoint, them 5-10-yard gains, they got to do 8-7 of them per play. So sooner or later, something's bad going to happen for them, and something's good is going to happen for us. Now, from the fan point of view, it's like, man, why y'all letting them get 7 to 8 yards a pop? From a coaching standpoint and a defense point of view, it's like, man, the more times they snap the ball, the higher our chances are on creating turnovers, something good happening our way. Mm-hmm. And once we get to the red zone, everything shrinks in. So the throwing lane is going to get smaller. We can throw the timing off by jamming. So it just depends on who you ask for far as like football-wise. If I'm asking you, like, how you feel about Brady spreading us out and getting to
that seven. Well, it just
negates
the pass rush. It seems to nullify the greatest strength, which is getting some heat on the guy.
We'll take 10 plays of that, then that one big 70-yard play, then that three plays for 80 yards. We'll take that all day. So now we putting our offense and our team in a bad situation. That's what people got to realize. Like, we'll take them 5 to 10-yard mm-hmm. plays all day. You can have them. Because I know in that red zone, it's going to shrink. And, man, something good for us might happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to talk about our defense and our secondary, 3, 4, and 5 on the depth chart. Will Gay, Bryce McCain, Antoine Blake. Never heard of the two. Bryce come from Houston.
Yeah.
Blake come from Jacksonville. So, Blake wind up getting 3 picks. I mean, McCain wind up getting 3 picks, took one to the house, helped us out in the Jacksonville game. Will Gay played like a Pro Bowl corner.
Legitimately did, yeah.
Legitimately mm-hmm. played like a Pro Bowl corner. He had, every time he touched the ball, he went to the house. So we call him pick six. gave pick six. You know, so he helped us with Tennessee.
I didn't realize all the charitable work he's been doing. Man. Will Gay, what a great guy.
It's crazy because he's been doing that for the past 5 years. Now, everybody has caught up to seeing what Gay has been doing.
Yeah, so wonderful work.
For me, it's like a blessing in disguise for Gay, man. Everybody seeing about your charitable donations, and you just so happen to have one of the best seasons a corner could have in the NFL. You know, so if you just ask any other offensive coordinator at some point in time, man, that was like, don't even throw it on Will Gay's side. Because the man is hot right now. So you got 3, 4, and 5 on the depth chart coming into the season. I, myself, Cortez Allen, we the two starters. We get hurt. Now you're looking at it like, oh. But Coach T always say, man, next man up. And we had that mentality in the secondary. And we ain't even going to talk about a Mike Mitchell. This is his first year in that defense. So it was a growing curve for him. Mm-hmm. But towards the end of the season, you saw what Mike was doing.
Well, that's a perfect thing because the other issue I have with, at least from the outside looking in, the problem or issue or whatever you want to call it with the scheme in Pittsburgh has been that rookies can't come in and learn it real fast. And it's a problem that, you know, Shazier's hurt most of the year and wasn't right. But, in the free agency era, isn't it sort of bad that the notion that, well, you're not going to be really familiar and up to speed on our defensive system until year three, well, then he's a year away from free agency already. Isn't that a problem? Don't you want in 1982, that was great. But now with guys moving on after just 4 years or so, don't you want a system in place where you bring a rookie in and he can start making plays?
It's the maturity level, Shaq. You know, same way as in your field, your broadcasting field, you know?
I am very mature. You're right about
that. You're very mature. Like, man, you can do this in your sleep. Everybody can't do this. You bring a rookie in, man, it's going to take time. They're going to struggle. They're going to have a learning curve.
Like when Black Tie interrupts us, that's the same sort of thing. That's the thing you see the difference.
Like it's small things you catch on to. It's veteran moves you know as a broadcaster. Rookies ain't going to know unless they go through it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just look at the same situation. It's just, man, we off the field and we on air.
Ike, we're going to do a new segment here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put a photo up back there.
Right.
You react to it. I don't even know what – it's so new. I don't even know what to call it. Maybe – it should be you get to name it since you're the first one to do it.
Okay.
Ready? Here we go. Okay. We're going to start out. Just react. Whatever your gut tells you.
Okay.
Go.
So I heard y'all was looking for me.
Antonio Brown.
Now I'm here. Hello, world. That's that guy right there.
Well, you know.
That's that guy right there. He a little man, but he grown.
It is crazy. You know what? I have brought this up at least 10 times on the show over the last 2 years. About 2 years ago, the first time you and I ever spoke, I said, tell me about Antonio Brown. Can he really be a number one? Because they had just let Mike Wallace walk away.
I said,
well, this is a problem. He can't be. I mean, he's a good receiver, but he's not a number one guy. You said he is the best one-on-one wide receiver in the league. I laughed at you, Ike.
You did.
But when I'm wrong,
that
I say I'm wrong.
Disrespectful.
It was, but you know what? Like, you know, at the end of Dirty Dancing,
when
Jerry Orbach says, you know, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
Correct.
Ike Taylor.
I respect that.
When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And that is, there's no way to argue it. He's the best receiver in the NFL right now.
So you know, for sure, you're going to have your Dez Bryant and your Calvin Johnsons because they're tall. Mm-hmm. God gift talent. But you got a guy who's 5'10". And he gets double covered a lot, and he still gets open, scores, and make plays. Got to give it down to him.
I mean, 129 catches is not jive, and 115 was not jive the year before. This is a remarkable run he's on right now.
Yeah, he the man. But if you see him work out, if you see him throughout the week, you'll understand why.
Yeah, but I don't work out myself, so when am I going to cross paths?
You look like it.
All right, ready, set. You don't have to attack me.
Oh, I didn't.
There's no reason to insult me.
I didn't even know you heard it.
Ready? Well, I did, Ike, and it hurt.
My bad, Shaq.
Here we go. Cardale Jones, the national champion QB. Have you seen enough? 3 games? That's enough. He should go pro, right? He's a first or second round draft pick at worst.
He said it. He said it best. You know, he said he wasn't ready, and I agree. Regardless on how big we want to say these games are, he still got to mature as a starting quarterback. You know, so I agree with what he said. That when he said he wasn't ready, that showed me, man, he's growing right in front of our eyes. When a guy is 6'5", 240, that plays quarterback and he's agile to be that size, he could be playing basketball. Watch out.
What about Jameis? Don't you think Jameis is Jameis the most like Ben Roethlisberger of anybody you've seen?
You can say that. You can say he's, to me, he's the most right now ready NFL quarterback. Like, I know we want to talk about his off the field antics, but let's throw that out the window. Let's talk about the games he's won.
Right.
How successful he's been in big games and the comeback games he led Florida State to in the fourth quarter and the second half. He's the, to me, the most right now ready quarterback.
Yeah, Huey and applesauce off the field is not something to slough off. But on the other hand, I think a lot of guys when they're in college get into some, they do some naughty stuff.
26-1?
Something like that, yeah. Whatever the record is.
26-1.
Yeah, but like I say, I always, when I watch him, I think that's Roethlisberger. All his.
Just a different skin tone. You're right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You're right.
I don't see color, Ike.
No, I'm just saying just how we talk in the locker room, man. Yes, he reminds you of number seven for us. Mm-hmm. You know, he got everything you're looking for. He's tough. He can lead. He can make all the throws. He can scramble, but he'll rather throw than scramble. But if you need him to scramble, he can. As far as like taking hits, he's gonna stand in the pocket and do that. So
I'd like to see you I'd like to see you do some coaching, but I also would be interested to see you do some scouting too. I could imagine you being a scout.
I think you hit it on the head.
All right, let's get the next one. Ready, set, go. The red rifle, Andy Dalton. Go ahead.
If he can get over that hump during the playoffs.
Well, but can he? That's the question. Can he?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Shaq. I don't know. Because Andrew Luck have gotten over that hump. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what we want to say, he got the talent. Andy Dalton has the talent around him. He got two. Now he has two running backs.
That's right.
Jeremy Hill and Bernard, you know. And we all know that monster, A.J. Green. We all know what he can do. And Sanu. He came along as a real good number two. When AJ was down, he became that number one. So they're gonna wind up picking up a third receiver in the draft. And I think I should try this scouting. But they're gonna wind up picking up a third receiver.
Just plain and simple. You know, people get into this character evaluation stuff, and it does matter. I'm not sloughing that off. But he just plain and simply doesn't have the whip. Right? I mean, he's got the greatest threat. It should be A.J. Green, and good as he is, he just can't push the ball downfield to take advantage of it, it would seem. I mean, and he doesn't – he also, as much as anybody I've ever seen over the last – or at least over the last 5 or 6 years come around, he does not like when there's some pressure on him. He doesn't like – I mean physical pressure. I don't mean pressure of the game.
A few quarterbacks like that.
Yeah.
And honestly – the only one I know who like that, who really can take that is Cam and Seven.
Yeah.
Like, they know they're about to get hit, and they'll sit in the pocket. A lot of other quarterbacks, and we could talk about some Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they don't like getting hit.
Tom Brady doesn't like it.
You know? So
Peyton Manning becomes completely different if he's under any pressure.
So that's why Seven fits that city. Yep. You know, that's why Cam Newton, regardless of what we want to say about him, he fits Carolina. Like, those guys – yeah, it hurts, but sitting in the pocket and watching that bullet come down, and know you're about to get hit, but still want to make that play, man, that takes mental.
That's the killer to play against, too, right? Yes. Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, too.
Yes.
Those guys, everything's covered up. We got it all battened down. Oh, he took off and he ran for the first down on us.
Aaron Rodgers, man, his accuracy is like no other.
We've talked about Super Bowl 45. That way, you and I have talked about. I'll mention it again. There were plays where you could see you and Ryan Clark specifically surprised by how fast the ball got on the receiver. You thought, "I have a play on this. I'm going to knock this." What? Oh, that ball arrived more quickly than I expected. He has a different level of thing, right?
His accuracy is like no other. Hmm. I'm talking about that flick of the wrist. He has that flick of the wrist like a Mike Vick, but he's just right-handed. So he has a controlled flick of the wrist. Everybody know Mike Vick arm strength. Like, regardless on what you want to say about his running skills, the man has an arm. Mm-hmm. So now we just looking at that from Aaron Rodgers, you know, but a controlled and very consistent thrower. You know, Aaron Rodgers
is the best. I love
him. He's that guy.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's that guy.
He's maybe regardless, the best of all time.
He's that guy that belt move he do, that's all flavor. He got flavor, he got swag, and he carry that. He give you all that. And I like watching him play.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with you. All right, ready, set, go. Oh, Peyton Manning. Let's not talk about the other guy. Number 18, how say you?
Hall of Famer. Will he come back is the question. I got an opportunity.
Think?
I don't.
Should he?
Give him one more year.
No. That's the incorrect answer, Ike. Nah, I think he does. I think it's time to go. You saw it. You saw what he was trying to do.
This how you give him
sad,
one more year.
Kinda.
You give him one more year because one, he's Peyton Manning and he's good for the game. Two, he played hurt and we didn't even know it. So regardless on how we want to talk about him and Tom Brady don't like getting hit, that shows you another kind of toughness that we didn't get a chance to see, but now we know.
Do you like that, though? So, shouldn't we have known that going up? It feels wrong to me after the fact to say, oh, yeah, by the way, I was hurt the whole time. That's why I didn't look good. Shouldn't he have said that?
They didn't even know he was that hurt.
Oh.
Or they didn't even know he was hurt till after the game, you know? So now it's like, as a teammate, it's like, and I'm sure some of his teammates didn't even know.
Hmm.
So now it's like, as a teammate, like, that's why Peyton wasn't looking like Peyton. You know, so
it's
you
not
get,
age. It's you, not. You don't think you, it's an age issue,
man. For this guy right here, Peyton Manning, age will never be a factor. And the reason why it's not going to be a factor because he's such aware of the game. Like Peyton sees everything. He's in the Matrix. So
that's his skill. It's his game has never been predicated on athleticism anyway. So he can be old.
Never.
But
never.
I don't know. He's really to never. Me. He really looked Give like him, he couldn't get the ball downfield.
Man, the man is down bad, as we say. Like, he has to be healthy. He has to be, like, from 95 to 100% to play. Him at between 85 and 90, that ain't going to work with his age.
So your vote is 18 back in 2015.
Get him one more year.
All right.
Get him one more year and let him shoot the deuces.
All right. I don't know what that means. Shoot the deuces.
Black tie knowing it, man.
What's that mean?
That's Peace. What that means. Peace sign.
Peace. All right.
What's going on?
Deuces.
All right. He can have peace. What about number one? Don't you want that?
No, that
be number one.
That means bye. Peace, love, and happiness.
All right, fine. But if you're playing football, you want to be number one. You don't want to be number two.
He's number one in a lot of categories. I'm just talking about on his way out. He's going to get right.
But let me tell you this. Yeah, I know we've talked about this.
Ike just looks like, oh, my gosh. What am I dealing with?
If you had to have – I know what your answer is going to be to this because you like black and gold like
take
I do.
Take seven out then. Let's take
– well, okay.
Okay.
The fate of the world is on the line. So
right.
There are aliens who are going to blow up the planet.
Right.
There's one game, and the world needs one guy to play quarterback for
right.
one game. I'm not telling you what the defense is. I'm not telling you what the weather is outside. Aaron Rodgers is the right answer, with the possible exception of Roethlisberger.
Yes, I said take seven out.
But you would okay. So Rodgers is the right answer. Yeah, I agree with you about that.
Aaron Rodgers, hands down.
That's right, because he can handle pressure. He can run with the ball. I mean, not on the bad calf, but he's the man.
You see what he's doing with the bad calf.
Yep.
So picture him healthy.
Yeah. Now, listen, you're telling me what I already know.
Guys, sleeping on my boy Russell Wilson, man. Just saying. Sleeping on him.
No one's sleeping. What's up?
Just because it's not conventional. You guys are sleeping on Russell Wilson.
What are you talking about? I mean, let's see. Well, he has two more games to go, or maybe just one.
Question for Ike. Who are you taking, Luck or Wilson, for the next few years?
Luck.
You taking Luck easily?
And the only reason why I'm saying that, Black Tie, because look at the man defense. You know? So will you ask Russell Wilson to pass 35 to 42 times a game?
But that's conventional way of thinking, right? It's like a quarterback that needs to pass 35 to 40 times. What about a quarterback who legitimately is probably like a point guard in the pick and roll system where it's like he's deciding when to hand it off, when not to hand it off, when to run and throw, when to run for first downs. Like, it's – I understand where you're coming from because that is conventional way of thinking, but what if Russell Wilson is just coming up with a totally different way of playing the quarterback position that we don't necessarily have a way to quantify that just yet?
Black Tie, you saw that already. The early years of number seven. Like, we didn't ask Ben to throw it 35 to 40 times a game his first five years. All we asked seven was to manage. Had a great defense. Hey, man, we're going to manage this football. Just don't turn the ball over. We're going to get the ball back to you as many times as possible. If we get 35 points, we cool with 35. If you get us 24 points, we cool.
The difference is, Black, cool. It's as simple as this. If Andrew Luck were on the Seahawks would still be good. What would the Colts be with Russell Wilson? That's a tougher call.
So with Andrew Luck, just hypothetically speaking, with the Seahawks, how many points you think they'll put up? Let's be honest, Black.
I mean, again, they don't necessarily have the skill position players. Like a lot of if you look at a lot of even the Seahawks pass plays, a lot of it is built on the fact that Russell Wilson's improvising. He's running around and getting Luke Wilson open, Doug Baldwin open, all those guys open. I'm not of a school of thought. Just think, because a guy's a pocket passer, he's all of a sudden he doesn't have a T.Y. Hilton on his team. He doesn't. So I mean. I hear what you're saying.
He has
totally
Marshawn Lynch
you,
on his team and a great offensive line. In
that's
front of him.
That's. I mean, his T.Y. Hilton is Lynch.
He does get. He gets dogged a little bit for being a guy who doesn't turn the ball over, and it's like, yeah, that's not necessarily being a game manager. This is being smart.
His T.Y. Hilton is Lynch, and at the same time, man, when you got a running game, it opens up everything. So take Lynch out the equation. Do we even talk about a Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Nevertheless, he's very good.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So put a running back. In Luck's equation, now how good do you think Luck can be? Is what I'm saying.
That's the point. How much time do we have left here?
We got to blow through a bunch of these really quick. So
okay, real fast. Go ahead. Let's get next. Oh, there he is. What do you think? Is there something? Let me ask you this. Is there something going on here? Because there has been a high. There's been more than usual departures from assistant coaches. Why is that? Is there something about Tomlin inherently that? Does he push guys out? Do they want to get away from what? Why is this?
I'm an intelligent guy, so that carries over for me being an intelligent coach. Everybody loves coaching with me because I give all my coaching staff leeway. I don't breathe down their neck. They're never looking over the shoulder. So they learn from me. I learn from them. I got a great connection. My resume is real good as far as like a head coach. I got an even better resume as a defensive coordinator. Y'all feel free. So this is what you got to understand. When coaches under Coach Tomlin get asked for interviews, he gives them permission. You know, he can easily say no. So for Coach T to give these coaches permission to branch out and to carry their own legacy, that says a lot about Coach T.
Next. Let's talk about the one in the middle, Johnny Football.
Right, right.
What do you think?
Just really quick, does Shaq know who else is in that photo?
I know who's on the right.
Yeah, who's that?
Drake. That's his friend Drake. Drake likes all teams. That's the knock on Drake is that he's a front runner. He roots for whoever's good at the moment.
Man,
I don't know who's
about,
on the left, though. Dan Fouts, maybe. I don't know who that is.
Let me get a chance to stop talking about my off the field, what I do off the field. We all young. We all make mistakes in life. I can't help that. I come from a lot of money. I can't help that. Former president was at my pro day. I can't help that I played music at my pro day. It's a lot of things I can't help. I can't help I got a lot of money and y'all getting worried about who I partied with. I can't help that these rappers and these artists are putting me in their songs because they're like my swoo gay. So leave my swoo gay alone, man. Let me get a full year. Let me get a full year underneath the center and we'll talk about things later.
I like that. That's a lot of fun. All right, real quick, one more thing here. I want to try with you, Ike. How much time do we have, Black Tie?
We have about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. So I thought we were in a big rush here. Do we have any more pictures we want to show to
Ike? Oh, we have a bunch more pictures.
Oh, you do? All right, let's do another one then. All right, I didn't know we – that guy. Talk about him.
My wife is hot. Mm-hmm. I got 3 Super Bowl rings. I got a lot of money. She has more money than me. Mm-hmm. I sit in a pocket. I look cute and I look pretty. I get out the pocket. Off the grass, I look cute and I look pretty. I'm just about every woman's dream. Hi, my name is Tom Brady.
But do you like him, though? Is he good? Do you respect him?
He's so good, you got to like him. Like, the only reason why you ain't liking him because he's just that good.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's no issue with guys on other teams. Like, he's got too much going for him.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Hey, he can't help it. And the reason why he can't help it, man, the man went 6th round. So now he got a me against the world mentality. That's what people forget, man. I'm a 6th round draft pick.
That's what the whole Seahawks have going for them. They all have
Look
a chip
at me
on
now.
Their shoulder, right.
Look at me now.
Do you like, speaking of that, do you like Steve Smith, who has the biggest chip on the shoulder of anybody?
That.
And I love him. I think he's a cool guy.
I say he's my favorite receiver.
Is that right?
Yes. He got a tapeworm in his stomach, meaning he feels he got to prove every play, every Sunday. Yeah, I'm 5'8", but I'm about to prove to you I can play 6'7" if I want to. And me and you, one-on-one, in a box, I like myself. So, man, Steve Young, he can play defense. But it just so happened he plays a receiver, you know, with his mentality and with his attitude. So, Steve Smith, man, he's that guy. You know, he's a two-legged pit bull.
I love it. I love when he tells people to go mow his lawn after a game and everything and ice up and everything else. He talks stuff to you?
No.
He doesn't.
No, it's a mutual understanding.
I like that. I could see you two hanging out if things were different. He can't do it now when he's a Baltimore Raven.
Yeah, it's a mutual understanding. And they're giving him a three-week window. Let us decide what you want to do, Steve. So that says a lot how they feel about Steve.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. Yeah. What about the other guy, 55, on the Ravens? Suggs, trash talker. There he is. What do you think of him?
Y'all don't like me? I don't care. I make plays. You could talk about me all you want to. You could dislike me all you want to. It's an understanding, and the understanding is we don't like Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh don't like us. But I make a lot of plays on Pittsburgh.
Is that the worst that I mean, losing to the Patriots, you know, you lose to the Bengals a couple years ago when the playoff spot's on the line, is the worst thing to do is to lose to this team in the playoffs? Because you guys were undefeated in January against them. Did you talk about that leading up to the game?
No,
that they've never beaten us in the postseason? Let's keep it that way.
We didn't talk about that at all.
No.
You know, we just talked about trying to go win this game.
Does it sicken you, though, that Flacco came in and did it?
It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot. Like, you can – let's turn this. I don't even want to look at that.
It hurts me, too, Ike. Yeah. You think it makes me sick?
I know.
It makes me sick in the gut.
So, if you're sick, I got the flu.
Yeah. See, you know what? I like to hear that because I think that a lot of fans care more than some players. Some players, they love the game. They love playing it, but – at the professional level. They like their college team maybe more than they even care about their pro team. Yeah, that's got it. You've experienced that, right?
I can see that. I can see that for a lot of players. I can agree with you on that one.
But not you. That's what's
nah.
Great. I like that you care
nah.
at least
I care
much.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah.
Too much love for the game.
Is it wrong that I maybe got a little misty when you guys lost the
No, nah, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
You're granted, but just picture how the players feel.
I can picture how the players feel, but understand, I've been doing it for decades now.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
I've been living and dying year after year. Thrilled me. And I saw 26 and 84 and 7 and the best. That's the best group of triplets in the NFL. I mean,
yeah.
How can you say, you know, they had the second or third best QB this year. The Steelers had the best running back,
right.
had the best wide receiver.
Right.
I was really excited about what might happen. But you know what? That's still true in 2015. I hope Ike's there. Real quick.
Talk to me.
I want to do something here. You know, Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Yeah, I want to try something. That, you know, she asks questions,
okay.
relationship things.
Okay.
I want to do Dear Ikey.
Okay.
Okay? You answer these questions.
Talk to me.
Dear Ikey, I'm a good person, but when I get frustrated over something, I fly off the handle. I date and I have several close friends and a good job in a field I enjoy. Stresses in life are normal, but sometimes I blow up over things. When it happens, I see my coworkers and friends are taken back by my behavior. Do you have any advice for me? Hot and bothered in Atlanta.
Hot and bothered in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's who wrote it. What advice do you have to that?
Go outside. Take a deep breath. Reflect. Make all your thoughts positive. Come back inside and be the game changer at work.
Okay. Dear Ikey, I am 30 and my husband Brent is 35. We recently had to move in with my mother-in-law. My question is, how old should a child be before his mother quits walking around naked in front of him? My mother-in-law still walks around completely nude in front of Brent and his 39-year-old brother. She also parades nude in front of me. Is this normal behavior? Am I overreacting?
Houston, we have a problem.
I think so, too. That seems inappropriate.
That's very inappropriate.
Your mom
That's nasty.
I don't
That's
want to see
disgusting.
My mother nude.
No. Nah.
No, not interested in that.
Just make you want to throw up. Yeah.
That's right. There is no answer. Yeah, it's wrong is what you're saying.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes. Brent, please stop looking at your mother and Mom.
Like really, Britt, that.
Get a robe or something, you know?
Mom, from the get-go, she should know better.
That's right. It's really on her.
Yeah, but at the same time, Britt, you should even know. Let's go to the next one. That's disgusting.
Dear Ikey, I recently started dating a woman I've been friends with for a few years. She's smart, funny, has many wonderful qualities, and I'm starting to fall in love with her. She's attractive, except for one thing that could easily be fixed. I don't know if I'm being too shallow. If that's the case, she has a bit of a mustache. Is there a way I can tactfully ask her to remove it without hurting her feelings, or should I just be grateful and keep quiet? Tactfully challenged is the person who wrote that one.
Check her testosterone level. See if she have more testosterone than you. Check her birth certificate.
Oh, you...
Make sure it's not Greg.
You think she might be...
You just never know.
Well, if they're dating and falling in love, don't you think that...
You just never know.
Have you ever fallen in love with a woman and then found out after the fact that she wasn't a woman after all?
I ain't got no problems. You want me to say, I ain't got them problems at all.
Ike Taylor, I could sit here and kibitz with you for the next 17 hours, and it wouldn't be enough. I think we did a lot of good work, though. We figured a lot of things out here. Did you like the new game? What do you want to call it? Name it.
I just came up with a new concept, though, before every time you end your segments.
What's that?
We checked out. Instead of checked out?
Shooting the check. That's what we just did.
We just checked out.
I like that. Checked out. How about that? Check it out. We'll call that check it out.
Check it out.
Check it out.
High five, man.
All right. I don't like high fives. I'm old school.
Check
I go
it out.
Low school like that.
Check it out.
Ike Taylor, wherever you land, whether you're back in Pittsburgh, of course, Steelers fans would love to see that. I know the Roonies would love that as well. Maybe even as a scout. Maybe as a coach. I don't know what. Then again, it seems like Dick LeBeau moving down to the desert might be a great landing spot with you, too. I know he has the highest respect for you and you for him. Either way, we wish you nothing but the best. And, of course, always come into Studio 66 whenever you have any free time.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on the show. Like always, it's a good time. And before this segment ends, man, check us out.
Check us out and check him out on Trib Live Radio. Again, Tuesdays, 9 to 10 a.m. And it's tribliveradio.com. Is
yes,
how you
sir.
Track that one down?
Yes.
All right. There he is, everybody, the 2014 Shecky Award winner for Best Football Playing Guest and an early front runner for the 2015 Shecky
Appreciate
Award
you.
On the same level. Check him out.
Call me whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me Collect.
That's the one that gets
yeah.
David Damashek.
Wow, the good times keep on rolling here. We're living right so far in 2015, Black Tie Behind the Glass, because look who's here in Studio 66. Maximum Strength now. What about the Mac? Can't you get the Maximum Strength right now? There you go. He's always late on that. I don't know. He's resting on his laurels. But here he is, everybody. Oakland Raiders wideout. Last time we spoke, we enjoyed yapping with him quite a bit. At that point, though, he was still a Green Bay Packer. He forecasted that he always loved the East Bay where he grew up. And sure enough, he played in 2014 there. It's James Jones. What's the poop, fella? Good to see you again.
Good to see you. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Nothing. Let me say that you smell terrific.
I appreciate it.
What's your scent?
That is Tom Ford.
Yeah.
Yes, this new scent by Tom Ford that I kind of smelt it on somebody too, man.
Really?
I'm like, what is that you're wearing? And he told me it's Tom Ford. It's the maroon bottle. Tom Ford.
Maroon bottle. Maroon I'm making a note. Black Tie Behind the Glass. Yeah. You think it's unbecoming to ask another man what his scent is, don't you?
It was a mix of kind of romantic,
yeah.
business, awkwardness.
That's Eric Decker. See? He did. He also enjoyed it. So
yeah,
anyway, and you also
it.
And you're put together well too. Look at
yeah,
that
I
nice
try.
Suit,
you know, I
nice
try to,
tie.
Try to come out professional.
Yeah,
you know.
Did it the last time
yeah,
as well.
A little help from the wife.
So, all right. Why not I've been talking with people about this. You ever consider the fact late night TV show hosts are only, you know, 4 or 5 in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are named Jimmy.
Yep.
I contend that if they went by Jim or James, they wouldn't have been late night TV show hosts. They're kind of informed. They're men, you know, they're boys in men's bodies. Jimmy, how come you didn't go Jimmy Jones?
You know what, when I was real little, man, I didn't like when people called me Jimmy Jones, man. I kind of I kind of felt like that was a little bit disrespect, like that wasn't my name. You know what I mean? My name is James. But, I mean, if I'm going to make some big-time money on a, you know, on a, being a TV show host, you can call me Jimmy every day. You know
I see.
I mean? If I got my own TV show.
Well, now you're a star in the NFL, and you have enough pelts on the wall. I think you can write your own ticket. Why not let's go Jimmy Jones in 2015?
Man, if Jimmy Jones going to get me some big stats into the Pro Bowl 2015 and a playoff ticket, I'm Jimmy Jones all the way.
Well, I think someone who will have a lot to do with that is Derek Carr. Yes, how sir. Was year one with him?
It was awesome, man. I mean, the kid has a bright future. I call him Baby A-Rod. He has all the tools that Aaron has. I mean, he's not there yet, but, I mean, he has a lot of tools, man. He's going to be a special player in the league. And I'm excited to work with him. I had a chance to work with him when he was in college because my receiver coach coached at Fresno State, so I got a chance to go in the offseason to catch balls from him. So it's crazy he got drafted to the Raiders.
Yeah, how convenient. That's pretty nice.
So, no, I had a great time with him, man, and we're going to continue to get better.
So – he doesn't just compare with Aaron Rodgers, you think? I mean, so he spins it? Because that is, yeah, to me, the all-time, yeah, arm is Aaron Rodgers.
He's a star in the making. I mean, it's natural to him. The flick of the wrist like Aaron, I mean, he flicks the ball off his hands like it's nothing, man. A lot of zing on the ball. Very smart, mobile guy. So he has a very bright future, man. I'm excited about what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, he really looks to me like he can spin it, and watching him at Fresno State, I use the eyeball test. I don't need all the measurements that come out of the combine, all that.
You're right with me. You know how to play football. You know how to play football.
That's right. I look at it. Well, I don't know how to play football, but I know how to watch other people play football.
The NFL game is not played in Studio 66.
That's Steve Smith telling me what for. But man, so what? I know what I know.
100% correct.
Jimmy Jones or James Jones.
Hey, Jimmy, cool.
Can I be Jimmy? I can go
you
Jimmy.
You can call
with
me
you?
Jimmy, man. I'm good. I'm grown now. You know, when I was a little kid, I was telling everybody it wasn't my name. But, you know, I'm older now, man.
Yeah,
so Jimmy
like
Jones
that.
All right.
And see, now you're an intimidating presence because the Raiders are they feel like they're moving in this youthful direction. Now you're going to be, you know, one of the guys in the locker room going forward here, and you know, but it'll be welcoming. No, not Jimmy to you. You know,
hey, I'm Jimmy. Man.
Hey, Amari
Call
Cooper,
Jimmy.
Right? Amari hey, Cooper. I'm, what do you think, I'm, Kevin White?
I'm with it.
What do you think?
Been,
one of those
I've
two
hearing,
kids?
I've been hearing a lot of that talk. I'm with it, man. I tell everybody, as many playmakers as we can get, that's the better. When I was in Green Bay, I mean, you couldn't match up with us because when we lined up on the field, you got Jordy, Randall, Donald, Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley. I mean, it was all of us. So the more playmakers, the better, especially when you got a good young quarterback.
Well, you've invoked the Packers twice now. And so do you feel, excuse me, I think, you know, from a lifestyle standpoint, I assume you're happy to be,
definitely,
you know, back in the homeland and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure that's really cool to get to have family and friends come and watch you play every weekend. But do you – where's your head now? Do you root for the Packers going forward?
All the way, man.
All the way? You want them to win a Super Bowl without you?
I want them to win the Super Bowl, man. I'm not a jealous guy at all. I still talk to all of those guys, Randall, Jordy, Aaron. I mean, I wish them nothing but the best, man. I talked to Randall, maybe a couple hours before I came in here.
Is that right?
Man, just told him I'm excited, especially the way he's playing with his contract year. Man, I would love for them to go. I'd love for them to win. I still root for those guys, man, as they root for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I know. But you should say, like, take a year off and then win.
No,
you don't
want to
win
right,
the
man.
First year that I left.
No, it's all right, man, you know.
Do you think they will win?
I think they have a very good chance. I do think they're going to go in Seattle and win this week.
Do you really?
I do think so. I think that it's going to be tough to beat Coach Mike and Aaron twice in the same year. I think they're going to have some things for those guys to put some points on the board.
What do you specifically anticipate they'll do?
Well, I think they'll run it a little more.
I agree. Yes.
Just because, you know, the mobility of Aaron. I think they'll run it a little more with Starks and Lacy. But don't forget that number 12 is back there because he is going to try to sling that ball over the field. Coach Mike, he likes to run, but he loves to pass. So I wouldn't be surprised what he does. And then Aaron's a tough dude, so. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes off on the first play to run and let him know that I will run on you guys.
And it seems like there's an actual opportunity there because for all the deserved praise of the Seahawks defense, it seems like, you know, they're missing a couple of D tackles there. And we saw Jonathan Stewart have a nice game last week. Now, I know Cam Newton puts pressure on the D with his legs, but even if Aaron Rodgers isn't doing that, obviously the safeties are going to have to.
Well, I think they're going to put the Seahawks in a tough position. Number one, when you put Randall in the backfield with Lacy and you motion him out and you go to three wide, they're going to have to bring their nickel cornerback in and then, you know, force him to make some tackles on big backs like Lacy and James Stark. So the game plan, I'm not in there no more, so I don't know the game plan, but I think they'll go and see Seattle and get a win.
If James Jones or Jimmy Jones were on the Packers right now.
We win,
now,
hands down,
that,
by
that
21. Yeah, yeah.
See?
Yeah. Throw it around the field, you know.
You played, I'm trying to think, I can't remember off the top of my head if the Raiders played the Colts. I do remember the game you almost went into Foxborough and yes. And knocked yes. off the Patriots.
No, we didn't play the Colts this year, but we did get robbed in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You did, yeah.
They called a holding call on our lineman that didn't even touch the guy.
That's right. Yeah. But this was when the Patriots were done and finished, according to a lot
of
people.
Yeah, according to everybody, they weren't that good when they almost lost to the Raiders. So
who do you like to win that AFC game?
I like the Colts, but I think you don't beat Brady and you don't beat Belichick at home in the NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gonna happen this time. So I think it's Patriots, Packers.
I predicted that in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I would be happy to be validated on that, and also it would be a great Super Bowl. Because I think the guy who wins that, if that's the Super Bowl, if it's Brady Rodgers, do you agree with me that the winner of that game will go down in history, or at least along with Joe Montana, as the best quarterback of the Super Bowl era?
I think so. I mean, see, I'm kind of biased, though, because I played with Aaron, so I think he's the baddest man on the planet walking, because I've seen some of the throws the kid makes in practice, and we all see him make them on Sundays, but some of the most impressive throws are in practice, man. You're like, how in the world is this man throwing the ball like that? So I don't think there's anybody out there that's even close to Aaron, but, I mean, when you look at the numbers, Brady's the baddest man out there. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be a heck of a matchup head-to-head, them two dudes going at it, but, I mean – you can argue that those two dudes and Joe Montana is all right up there at the top.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, yeah, it's the sort of thing that people like me who don't play, this is what we have to do. We have to put them into a proper
order.
Yeah,
well, if I had to put them in order, I got to go. I got to go Aaron, Joe, and then Brady.
Is that right? You know what? I catch so much heat, not the least of which comes from that guy, Black Tie. Hey, Black Tie, stop holding court behind the glass. Did you hear what James Jones just said?
I did. I actually was interested in hearing a story about, you know, Aaron Rodgers in practice. Like, tell us a story about one of these throws that he just made, and you're like, my goodness, how did that happen?
Well, I mean, because, you know, as a receiver, you take a couple plays, and then you sit out a couple plays. So you watch, you know, your quarterback sometimes. I've seen him literally look this way and throw an in route on the backside. Bow on the money in stride. And you literally see him like this.
So it's like a no-look pass.
Boom.
Back shoulder, no-look
but
pass.
Laser, dart, rocket, like, how are you throwing that and you're not even looking over there? Your feet is planted this way and you throw it. I mean, that's something you – I mean, if a dude's 5 yards away, you can do it. But, you know, a dude 20 yards down the field, I mean, it's impressive, man. And I don't think there's anybody in the league that's doing what
I always thought him and Jordy Nelson are the best of the back shoulder fade. Do those guys, like, after practice just work on that route by themselves or it just happens on game day?
No, it's just a feel, man. They've been playing together for so long. You know, if Jordy gets a little pressed at the line of scrimmage or something, he knows I need to get my eyes back quick. You know, if he gets a clean release, he knows that Aaron's going to be throwing that ball down the field. So, it's a field thing. Those guys have been playing together for a long time. They do a lot of that stuff in practice and stuff. But, no, they don't stay after and work out on throwing them because it's not even really a route. You know what I mean? People think the back shoulder fade is like a route. It's not. It's just a reaction. You see Aaron throw it, you peek, you know, and you turn and try to make a play on the ball.
Yeah, so you're both reading the DB and his position there, and you sense where there's that route.
Yeah, but even as a receiver, and I know this for a fact in Green Bay, Edgar Bennett is teaching Jordy and Randall and them to win over the top every time and react to the back shoulder. So you're still trying to win, but, you know, if you get jammed up or something a little bit, you'll take a peek back just to see if he released it. And 9 times out of 10, Aaron sees that and he throws it back shoulder, and you're able to make a play on the ball.
Edgar's a good name, by the way.
Edgar Bennett. You know, yeah, that's my guy right there.
Yeah. He was a plenty good one, too, yes, and he won that Super Bowl.
He shows a lot of his little highlight tapes in the meeting rooms and let us
Wait, coach, this has nothing to do with anything. You know, we're trying to get ready for the game.
We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. He's showing highlights of him. Coach, come on, man. Let's watch some film, man, on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I remember. You didn't have to bring that up. We just had Ike Taylor in here, too, talking about Aaron Rodgers and you in that Super Bowl.
I mean, shoot, Ike know type of throws he can make.
Yep, he said the same thing.
On third and 10.
You guys make me feel – well, because this, you know, like Black Tie – gives me grief when I say Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen. They say, well, you're so ridiculous.
Well, no,
how can
no.
You say that?
Don't misquote.
You're talking to a guy that's seen it in person for years.
Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. For someone to come out and say relax about something at a professional level, that means you have to be at a level so high that you know
that
you're
on confident
top.
In what you can do. Yeah.
Against Sheck, he talks about Peyton Manning's playoff ranking and Super Bowl wins. I'm like, well, Aaron Rodgers also only has one Super Bowl. So I do have a question for you, though.
No,
James.
That's being very simplistic.
Well, it is. But let's not do
Peyton
it again.
Manning's, I'm just telling you, there's a difference when people hold that up to me. There's a difference. Peyton Manning's play regresses in the postseason for whatever reason. I don't want to get into debating that. I don't
Please
think
don't.
He chokes. I just think it's the style of play. Aaron Rodgers' play hasn't regressed in any postseason. No. Yeah, he continues to play at a lofty.
I do think a lot of it is narrative, but quick question for you, James. I'm big on quarterback body language.
Yeah.
I contend, though, Aaron Rodgers doesn't always have the best body language. He seems to be a little bit of a lone wolf. And I'm not coming to him. I know he's your boy. But what
well,
is
let
he
me,
like
let
in
me,
the
let
locker
me,
room?
Let me tell you
how
this,
he, how
I mean,
he...
he's an unbelievable teammate. And, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's going to have your back, 100% of the time. Now, the same way he is in the game, he is in practice. And it's all about just being perfect. You know what I mean? A lot of the times you see him, you know, maybe – give some hand gestures or something, but when he gets back, when you get back in the huddle, he's the first guy to say, my bad, hey, you know, a lot of the times he's mad at himself. Some of the times he's mad at us because we messing up too, but a lot of the times he's mad at himself. But he does that in practice too. He just wants to be perfect. And I know watching the film, you could kind of look like, dang, man, he calling the receivers out, but it's not like that, man. He's a good dude, and he'll let you know first and foremost if he messed up. Let him know, hey, that's your fault.
Him,
you know?
And Greg, him and Greg Jennings cool now?
I have no comment on that, man.
That just came out of nowhere. I don't even know what was going on.
Don't you remember when Greg left?
Those are both my dudes, so I have no comment on that.
This is good. Get Greg Jennings on the line, stat, Black Tie.
I have no comment.
James Jones, real quick, let's do this. Well, let me ask you this. Jack Del Rio, you excited? You ever met the guy?
I am very excited. Never met him, man, but I'm excited about it, man. I just feel like – he's the type of coach we needed. I mean, he was in Jacksonville, didn't have a lot of talent in Jacksonville, you know, and still found a way to get them boys to the playoffs some years. And I feel like we have a lot more in place than some of his Jacksonville teams had. And, you know, I know when you look at our roster, a lot of people look like, dang, they're far off, but we're not. We feel like we're extremely close to being able to compete in our division and get to a playoff spot. So I'm excited to have him ready to get to work to see what he's got.
I'll tell you, the cardinal rule here is no jive in Studio 66, and I wouldn't say this if it were jive. I really do think the Raiders are – I mean, I don't know how close, but I think that you guys in the second half of the season were really competitive, and if you consider the key pieces that an NFL team needs to succeed, you have a lot of them in place mm-hmm. already. If Derek Carr, and I bought that before the season, as the season wore on, I like that a lot. If you get another pass catcher in there.
Yeah, we get another receiver in there, some playmakers on our side of the ball will be good.
Latavius Murray looks nice. Khalil Mack looks dominant. Dominant.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, and what if, you know, who knows what's going to be with Peyton Manning, whether he comes back or not. That's a wild card at this point. You don't know how good they're going to be. Who knows what'll be in that division?
Man, we were not playing good football last year. Some games we played better than others, but it was a lot of games we were not playing good football, and we still were in football games. You know, the first game we lost to San Diego by 3 points. You know, had a chance to win the game at the end through an interception. You know, we lost to them by 7 points and. in San Diego. We beat the split with the Chiefs, you know. Obviously, the Broncos got us both times, but we feel like we're right there, man. And we feel, I mean, with a new coach, new identity, we feel like we're going to be right there in the pack.
Let me do this with you real fast. You know the top 100 show that they do, the top 100 players?
We had zero players last year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, maybe that'll – I'm trying to think. Khalil
Mack or Charles would have to be in there this year, for
sure. Yeah. Fun to be around Charles Woodson?
Yeah, man. Wood is – I mean, like I said, I've been basically my whole career playing with Wood, Green Bay, Oakland now. So.
Black Tie, do you have that sound of what Charles Woodson said to me when I was
on – I am looking for it. I don't think we have it anymore.
Is that right?
He's not a big fan of you. He's not a big fan of me.
I said something to Charles Woodson when we were doing the Top 100 show, and he said, "I don't even know what you're doing here." And then I told, and then my mother texted, and she said, "I don't like that he said that to you." And then Charles Woodson backed off. He said, "I don't want your mother angry at me. I apologize," which was nice. Top 100, real quick. Who do you have at number one?
Aaron
Rodgers. Who's number two?
J.J. Watt.
Okay. Who's number three?
Number three would have to be Brady.
Brady.
Yeah.
All right. And then I assume you start getting into like Lev Bell territory here, right?
Don't put words into his mouth.
No.
Well, I don't want to make him sit here. I'm putting him on the spot. Like,
not
hey, pull
top
all the-
five. I mean, he's an unbelievable player. He is. But
all right, I'm going to put down Lev Bell.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's fair.
No, it's not.
Not top five.
You got two more to go for your top five. Big E.
Could go Richard Sherman. You could go
Nas.
Revis.
No. Top five you're talking about.
Antonio Brown.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z?
Top
what
five.
Does that mean?
Top five. You say top five to.
Top five, the movie. Top
five. You
know.
I don't know what that means, but all right.
I would put Antonio Brown in there.
Oh, okay.
I would put Antonio Brown in there because I feel like
– What a season. Another great season.
I just feel like if they don't have him, it's rough on them.
Right.
You know.
Got one more.
Could go Gronk. He's pretty significant.
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham. Are you crazy?
Odell
Beckham's played 11 football games in his life.
Hey, he's been compared to Michael Jordan. I'm just saying.
By you.
Not
you
me. No. Not me.
I would have to go Calvin.
That's a pretty
I would
good
have
one.
To go Calvin. All Even right. though he was hurt some years, I mean, he's a game changer.
Calvin Johnson. Do you watch that show, the Top 100?
Do I watch it?
Yeah.
Man, to be honest with you, man, I don't watch no football. I mean, I watch the football games, but I don't watch no football shows, man. I'm a comedy dude. I'll be watching comedy shows, man, comedy movies. I just like to
all
laugh.
Right, let's make that list then. Best comedy movie.
Of all time?
Sure,
what's
yeah.
my favorite?
Sure, yeah.
My favorite movie of all time comedy is Money Talks with Chris Tucker.
I've never seen it.
You've never
I'm
seen,
embarrassed
got,
to
got,
say it.
You got
to
watch it. You
don't say shame in me, Black Tie. You haven't seen any movie. Shame. You don't get
well,
to tell
not
me.
Not movies pre-90, you know, like I said,
pre-90s. No caveats.
No.
Really, Money Talks.
Money
I got to check that one out.
With Chris Tucker, yeah, that's one of my favorite movies.
What's your favorite? Who's your favorite comedian?
Martin Lawrence.
You take Martin Lawrence over Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, any day.
Well, he didn't say.
I'm not a big Dave Chappelle fan, man. I'm not. But, yeah, I take Martin. Martin is my favorite. I still watch Martin. I still watch the TV show Martin. You know, late nights that come on, I still be watching Martin.
And I guess that answers the question. Best sitcom then?
Yeah, hands down, Martin.
What about Seinfeld?
And the words of Stu Scott.
I can't say I've ever said that.
And the words of Stu Scott, brothers don't watch Seinfeld.
That's why I brought it up. Black Tie told me that yesterday.
I was just about to say, I've never sat down and watched a Seinfeld show a day in my life.
See,
that's
like
why
10
I brought
minutes
that
of
up.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, you flash through, you know, see what's on TV.
I think it's good. It's very good. It's not, it's a little overrated. Yeah. It's not the end of the world if you haven't seen it. All right, listen. James Jones, you've proven yourself to be delightful. Once again, 2 for 2, man, here in Studio 66. Thanks for the time.
Not a problem.
Keep on smelling great, looking great, and I hope 2015 is great and healthy for you and the whole Oakland Raider team.
Appreciate it was a mix it, of kind of romantic, business, awkwardness.
We're trying to say goodbye to James Jones. Eric Decker doesn't have to weigh in on this. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Go get him in 2015. Like
yes, sir.
The great James Jones. And I, you know, I think he's being too nice though when he says he wants the Packers to win.
No, if it's I want the Pack to win.
I know, but if it's me, it's like I want them to do well. Yeah, I hope they go to the play, but I don't want them to win the title without me. Not the first year after
I
left.
Man, I don't even really think about it like that. I talk to those guys, man. Those guys like my brothers for 7 years, so you know. I don't know Richard Sherman and all them guys. I want them.
Yeah, that's
I want
true.
Them to win, you know.
I hear so. You. Well, you know what? What if we've learned nothing else today, it's that you're a nicer guy than I am because I'd be rooting against them.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right. There he is, James Jones, everybody. Thanks for the time. And we'll wrap it up there. Thanks to Ike Taylor as well. Enjoy the football games this weekend. Just two of those. Then we got the Super Bowl. And then it's all over, everybody. Then it's regular season basketball. Ugh. Not good. Not good, James Jones.
Yeah,
a long wait.
I don't start watching until the playoffs basketball. So.
Yeah, that's I'm with you. Same with hockey.
Yeah.
Me and hockey, like that. March Madness is our next thing.
I don't watch hockey unless I go to the game. Unless I go to the game.
It's a good one. You got the San Jose
Sharks
game?
San Jose Sharks,
yeah.
I've been to a couple of those.
Oh, you know what? Now since I started to wrap up, I'm going to ask him one more thing because I see the Packers on the TV here. Oakland Raiders or Green Bay Packers? Who has a better uniform?
Oakland Raiders.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You've got that
black,
one right.
Black and silver, man. Best uniform in the game.
I mean, maybe. I think the Bay Area has the two best uniforms. Yeah, the Niners have good ones, too. Yeah. All right, enough's enough already. Like I say, thanks to all the people I mentioned already. Enjoy the football games. We have just three left, and then that's it. We'll be back after the title games to break down the Super Bowl for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.